usually.
That's not even supposed to be a thing.
You're set.
Okay, good morning. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title 1 CRS. The time is 10 a.m. The date is Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. We are meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room at 1700 Broadway, Denver, Colorado. The Title Board today consists of myself, Troy Bratton, on behalf of the Secretary of State, Wayne Williams, Melanie Snyder, designee of Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman, and Julie Pellegrin, designee of Office of Legislative Legal Services Director Sharon Eubanks. There are two titles for each measure. One is a statement and the other is a statement in the form of a question. Changes adopted by the Title Board to the first title in the staff draft will be considered adopted for the other title. For anyone who wishes to testify, there's a sign-up sheet on the table on the side of the room over there. The hearing is broadcast over the internet from the Secretary of State's website, and public restrooms are located on this floor. When the Title Board considers a proposed initiative for the first time, the board will follow three steps. First, board members may wish to ask questions of the proponents. This is to ensure that the board understands the proposal. The board will then determine if it has jurisdiction to set a title. In particular, the board must determine if the measure complies with the single subject rule prescribed in Article 5, Section 1, 5.5 of the Colorado Constitution and Section 1-40-106.5 of the Colorado Revised Statutes. This is because the board is prohibited from setting a title for a measure that contains more than one subject. If the board determines it has jurisdiction and if the measure is a constitutional change, the board will consider under CRS 1-40-106 3.5 whether the measure only repeals in whole or in part a provision of the state constitution. Third, if the board determines that it has jurisdiction to set the title, then the board will use a staff prepared draft for discussion purposes. A copy of the staff draft is on the table. Generally, we take all testimony first, then the board will discuss and vote after all testimony is complete. A decision is reached by two of three members of the board. Please take note that we are not concerned with the merits of any proposal here. We are only concerned with the setting of titles. Furthermore, we are not concerned with legal or constitutional objections to the measures, except to the extent that such objections relate to the jurisdiction of the board to set titles or to the correctness of the titles and summaries themselves. Anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the title board may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 calendar days. So first up on our agenda is a rehearing for 2017-2018, number 66, limit on local housing growth. Are the proponents here? Okay, can you just identify yourselves for the record, please?
Daniel Hayes, proponent.
Julianne Page, proponent.
Okay, and I'm assuming you guys received a copy of the rehearing motion?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And are the people who filed the rehearing motion here this morning?
Yes, Your Honor.
My Honor.
Panel member.
Yeah, you just promoted.
Heather Hanneman, I'm here representing Mr. Scott Smith as the objector.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to describe anything in your rehearing motion, or do you just want to rest on the motion? It's up to you.
I, I would like to describe a couple of the issues that we're addressing in more detail, particularly with respect to the single subject requirement. And all of my statements here are, of course, assuming that 66 is valid and enforceable if it's passed. It's our position that the measure has two subject requirements. First, it adds a Colorado statute regarding growth limitations. And second, it purports to amend the Colorado Constitution, restricting home rule constitutional rights related to the number of voters who must sign an initiative and referenda petitions. It's our position that amending the Constitution is an entirely different subject than an addition to Colorado statutes. And what we're talking about in terms of amending the Constitution is the 5% signature requirement that's contained in the title for both the growth limitations referenda and initiatives. In the Constitution, Article 5, Section 1.1, Subsection 9, home rule cities and towns have the authority to set the percentage of voters who must sign the referenda and initiative petitions of not more than 10%. So what this does, this measure does, is cut back and limit the rights of cities and towns to require the number of signatures to be up to 10% for referenda. For initiatives, this measure purports to amend the Constitution to limit those cities and towns from exercising their rights to have the signature requirements to be over 15%. So voters in this case will be hoodwinked into thinking that this is just a statutory change. But what this measure does is one thing more: attempt to amend the Constitution. And so those are two entirely different subjects. I think that if there may be a question, but that isn't this just procedurally implementing the growth initiative, this 5% signature requirement? And that's really the answer to that question, it shows how pernicious this measure is, because it purports to substantively restrict constitutional rights related to home rule under the guise of basically implementing the statute. So I think that the purpose behind the single subject requirement is implicated here, because the second subject is embedded into this initiative so that the voter really doesn't know that he or she is amending the Constitution. The second issue that we raised is that Legislative Council waived its right for a review and comment hearing on this initiative. And we believe that this is because they reviewed initiative number 4 last year that basically contained the same provisions but was a constitutional amendment instead of a statutory initiative here. And frankly, we just think that that was a mistake on the part of Legislative Council. And if that hearing and review wasn't performed, this panel doesn't have jurisdiction to be hearing this matter. And we're concerned about that, particularly given the purposes of that Legislative Council review, which is to help the proponents to word the initiative correctly, and also to give notice to the public about what the initiative, what the purpose of the initiative is. So in our view, this initiative, the title should not be set for this initiative for those two reasons.
Okay, thank you. Proponents, do you have any response or anything you would like to say?
Her second concern is false. This was this was submitted to Legislative Council as number 47 as a proposition. And I was told, you should have a record of it. I meant to bring one. That's when I was told that the definitions have to go in front. They also told me what part of the statutes, the numbers that I should use. And there was a comma that should or shouldn't have been there and a couple other minor changes. So I made those changes and I resubmitted it to Legislative Council. Now, this is all as a proposition, and I believe it was number 47 originally. And when it was resent, then I got a letter back that didn't need to go back through, and they gave it a new number of 66. As for her first concern, all I can say is that the 5% is narrowly focused on our growth limit. And I realize that home rule cities do have some constitutional power. It's in the Constitution, but there are exceptions that a statewide concern can override home rule city. So I guess this will be, I imagine that if it goes to the Supreme Court, they'll take a look at that. But again, it's only for this growth limit on residential housing, this 5%, because I have to tell you, Arvada changed their laws. You have to get 10% of the registered voters of Arvada, which turns out to be something like 12,000, and it is almost impossible to do. Most other cities like Lakewood have not amended. They're still, I believe, at 5% of registered voters. So it's just a few outlaws that this is directed at, but it also has the clause that if any part of it is considered unconstitutional, that can be taken out. And so that's the best we can do. Since 71 was passed last year, restricting, making it virtually impossible to not only put a constitutional amendment on, but to get it passed. So that's why it was resubmitted as a proposition. I realize it doesn't have the power that an amendment to the Constitution has, so. But it did go through Legislative Council. So.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of the board for either the proponents or the objector?
I don't think I have any questions.
Okay, any discussion?
In reviewing the motion and looking back at Smith versus Hayes, where the Colorado Supreme Court held that number 4 was a single subject, I think the analysis of the Colorado Supreme Court still applies to number 66. And the fact that number 66 is now statutory and looking to try to make a change to what's in the Constitution, I don't think that makes it a separate subject. I think that raises questions as to legality or constitutionality. So I would say that I think it's still a single subject, and given that number 47 was reviewed, which was substantially similar to number 66, I don't find in favor of the second argument either.
I'm inclined to agree on both those points.
Same with me. I just want to note for the record that I wasn't on the title board for the original title setting, but I did listen to the hearing. I reviewed the case that Ms. Pellegrin just cited to. I agree. The Supreme Court has already okayed the petition, initiative and referendum petition clauses in this, and I agree with the comments on the submittal of for the review and comment hearing. So that's where I think I am. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I move that we reject the motion for rehearing.
I second.
All those opposed? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. that passes unanimously. So next on our agenda is a rehearing for 2017-2018, number 83, state income tax. Are the proponents in the room? Could you just identify yourselves for the record, please?
I'm Marty Nielsen, co-proponent. And I'm Mike Spalding, also co-proponent.
Thank you. So we have your motion for rehearing. Is there anything you'd like to add to the motion?
As far as the first part, where in our last hearing, we had Sharon, I don't know, but there was another person on the title board, okay. And so she added the text, repealing all current state income tax credits, which is, we have it up there, line 3. Do you see it? Okay. So we don't repeal the tax credits, and we're concerned that this is misleading. We actually took this in front of a group of voters and had them read through it, and one of the objections that they came up with is, we don't want to take away tax credits. Why are we doing that? That'll just, you know, increase people's tax bills. And this doesn't repeal tax credits. We're keeping the tax credits, and then we're just distributing them differently. Instead of going to a few companies, they're going to everybody. And in fact, our initiative will lock in the tax credits for perpetuity. So rather than repealing, we're actually ensuring that they'll be around forever. So I think that is quite misleading to have that statement that was added. And we had been, you know, this was also number 62. So this has been looked at several times, and that just got added the last time. I think we need to correct that and take it out. And I guess, do you want to address the modification? Okay, so the other thing is fairly simple. At the very beginning, line 1, it says, a change to Colorado revised statutes concerning modification. Well, of course, we're changing it. We already said it's a change. So it's like it's saying, a change to the Colorado revised statutes concerning change of the state income tax system. And so I think that we can just strike the modification of and tax system. We refer to this as income tax throughout, so I don't think we really need the word system there. That might differentiate it. So if we strike modification of and system, then we get a change to Colorado revised statutes concerning the state income tax. And that's probably clear.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Any questions of the board for the proponents?
I was present for the discussion on 83 originally, although I wasn't sitting on the board. I just want to clarify that the initiative, though, does not provide for any tax credit for a corporation.
That's correct.
So you are repealing all the existing tax credits for corporations.
That's right. There's 11 corporations that would happen. But the way it's worded, it looks like, you know, everything's being repealed. And the tax credits are actually still there. They're just going to different people. So I don't know if repealing captures that. And I think it makes it look like they're being removed, but they're being maintained and distributed differently. So.
But any tax credits existing currently for corporations aren't going to anybody else. They're gone.
They
right?
are. No, they are. They're going to all registered adult voters. There's a formula which you can see in the ballot title, and that's one of the 5 components for the tax credit. So they'll be maintained, and we're locking it in, so it may maintain forever. So.
Well, I guess I feel like saying that they are repealed, and then we also, but the title then goes ahead and says that they're replaced by being in the new tax credits.
Right, but the way it's worded, people look at that, and they look at they're being removed. They're not. Maybe you say redistributed. If that's how you pronounce it, but anyway,
I think,
or something like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, redistributed, redistributed to all permanent residents in the state of Colorado.
So. Right, but they are being repealed.
They're the ones that are getting the credits now,
but they are being repealed for corporations.
It's more like they're being moved
they're
from
repealed.
Some people
they're
to
just...
other people. So, but if you say repealed. You know, from what we saw in talking to voters, mm-hmm. it looks like it's getting removed. And it's getting moved.
Would you be okay with something that said repealing all current state income tax credits and replacing them with...
A uniform tax credit?
With, well, I'm trying not to change the next... Mm-hmm. clause too much, but or maybe repealing and replacing all current state income tax credits, something like that.
That would at least say that they're actually not going away forever. They're coming back to everybody.
Makes it longer.
I think the title should note that corporations will not get a tax credit. Corporations that currently do, because I think that's a significant change in your measure, is that corporations, even if there's not very many of them, corporations right. who do currently get a tax credit will not if this passes.
Maybe in the part later on where it talks about how the components are, maybe it say tax credits from corporations will be redistributed to, and then that indicates that they're not getting it, it's going somewhere else. So line four.
What if we said repealing all current state income tax credits for corporations?
I mean, that would
be
accurate.
And giving them to individuals?
Well, in your next line, arguably, you say it says that.
Yeah, to claim equal share of state income. Yeah, it's just, it's further down there. It's nice if we could say that all in one place. Or how about just redistributing, if I'm saying it wrong, but anyway, redistributing corporate tax credits. That would say what's really happening.
I feel like that's confusing because you're not, I don't know actually what it would mean. And I'm not a tax expert, which is probably to your detriment, but I don't know actually what it would mean to say redistributing a tax credit. Because the money, I mean, does that mean the money? Which you're really not doing, because if the corporation claimed the tax credit, it would be a certain amount. But me having it rolled in claiming that tax credit, it's another amount. So arguably, you're not redistributing tax credits.
But we are taking the exact tax credit that the corporation would get and then slicing it up into every adult resident of Colorado and passing it out there. It's the same exact amount. In fact, it won't cost the state anything because the same tax credit that the corporation would claim, they're taking that amount and then slicing it up among everybody.
I mean, it gives me some heartburn to it gives me some heartburn even with individual tax credits, because I think what the measure is doing is repealing all tax credits. Now, it puts a new one in place. It replaces the tax credits, but I do think it's repealing all current income tax credits. So, I mean, I think kind of what I was getting at before, I think I would be okay with repealing and replacing, or somehow indicating that there's a different credit coming back for individuals, but I'm not comfortable with removing the word repealing or the language about repealing income tax credits.
If we said repealing and replacing for individuals all current state income tax credits?
Replacing two individuals?
Four individuals. You're replacing it for them. You're not replacing it to them.
But then the repealing would apply to that too. So repealing, yeah.
I would say repealing,
I like
comma,
the repeal and replace. But
repealing,
yeah.
Comma, and replacing for individuals, comma, all current state income tax credits.
That would be clearer, definitely.
I think so,
you agree?
Too.
Okay. We've stopped long enough that Steve can type it up now. Okay, so then do we need to say on line five, we're kind of repeating it with all state income tax credits, because it's up above that we're replacing the, taking those state income tax credits.
Go ahead.
Or would you, do we need to make clear that we're actually creating a new, it is a new tax credit
it
that
is,
you're
yeah.
creating.
And it says, allowing each adult full year resident taxpayer claim a state income tax credit. So that's line four that might refer to that. That's our new credit.
Right. I'm just wondering if you should make clear that it is a new credit. So in line four, you'd say full year resident taxpayer to claim a new state income tax credit.
That would be reasonable. Yeah.
But I think you still need the reference in five, because that's part of the, what the new income tax credit is. It's a share of all of those, plus this, plus this.
Right, it does repeat in line three that what's happening to those corporate taxes.
Would it be clear to say allowing each adult full-year resident taxpayer to instead claim a new? It just, I guess I'm getting hung up on the fact we really are repealing a credit and creating a new credit. Allowing each.
I think by saying in three that we're repealing and replacing and then adding new on four,
yeah.
I'm not sure the instead adds
anything.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah.
I kind of like it like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
And then as far as having change in there twice in the first line, I mean, we're making a change to the statutes. Obviously, a change is going to modify it.
From my perspective, to say we're making a change to the statutes and then we say what that change is a change to the state income tax system.
But maybe it's a change to statutes concerning the state income tax system.
I prefer to keep in modification of.
I understand your concern, and I know it's more words, but I like it like that as well, I think.
It is redundant. So you believe the redundancy makes it clear?
I do.
Okay. Well, I mean, no, it's an argument, so, okay.
I think redundancy always makes things clear.
Can I quote you on that?
Is there any question about the effective date? Did you get any response from folks that they weren't clear on when this would take effect?
We weren't looking at that, so I don't have any information.
Okay, any... anything else? Ready for a motion? Or?
Just before we make that,
sure,
this is more of a question. So in the past, we brought up the problems with the fiscal note, that it's just way out of range. And admittedly, it is a difficult calculation, but I mean, they have numbers that are just not even close to anything that we've looked at. And we mentioned that in past times. And of course, with the new 71, the fiscal note will be included in the petition. But you guys have no jurisdiction over the fiscal note. Is that right?
Well, not at the not at the initial title setting, but I believe we do at the rehearing if you raised it in your motion for rehearing, which I don't think you did.
It wasn't specifically in the motion, no.
And, you know, that's... I mean, that's a new provision. It's new one for us, too, and...
Right.
We're still kind of feeling our way through it. So it wasn't in your motion for rehearing, but if you're raising it at the rehearing, you know, I'm not.
I feel like it's my understanding that we would have jurisdiction to consider the abstract, not specifically the fiscal note, but the abstract.
Right.
But I think it needs to be raised in a motion for rehearing because it wasn't raised and none of the fiscal analysts are present.
Oh, at this point.
I would be uncomfortable taking it up at this point.
Right. And we did raise it in the initial hearing, and the title board said that that wasn't something that they could handle, which was correct at that moment in time, but mm-hmm. somewhat misleading. So.
Yeah, I don't know if you have thoughts. I'm inclined to agree with Ms. Pellegrin. If it were in the motion, then we could have had fiscal note staff here.
Right.
Today, but we aren't prepared really to take that up because we weren't notified of it.
Okay.
So I apologize for the confusion. It is the case that the title board does not have jurisdiction during the original title setting and would during the rehearing if it's raised. But,
so. All right.
Okay.
Motion?
Sure.
I move that we grant the motion for rehearing and adopt the title as displayed on the screen.
Second.
And denied in all other respects.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. So that brings us to the next item on our agenda, and we will be switching out a member of the title board, Jason Gellender, for the Office of Legislative Legal Services, and for Julie Pellegrin. Yes, thank you. Actually, let me go back to the previous agenda item and read that title into the record. I neglected to do so. So as it reads now, a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning modification of the state income tax system and, in connection therewith, reducing the state income tax rate from 4.63% to 4.6%, repealing and replacing for all individuals all current state income tax credits, allowing each adult full-year resident taxpayer to claim a new state income tax credit of up to an equal share of the sum of all state income tax credits in 2018, plus all state tobacco settlement revenue, all state registration fees over $10 per vehicle, all non-federal revenue to state enterprises started after 2000 without voter approval, and all excess state revenue retained as authorized by state voters in 2005, simplifying state income tax returns and changing procedures for the collection, enforcement, and administration of state income tax. Thank you, guys. So now on to our next agenda item, which is 27-2018, number 82, issuance of identification documents by the Department of Revenue. Are the proponents in the room today? Would you please identify yourself for the record?
Pilar Carrillo Cabrera.
Ann Chamberlain.
Thank you. Any questions from the board about the measure?
Not at this time.
Okay. Is there any public comment about the single subject nature of this measure? Okay, seeing none. Is there any discussion of the single subject?
Do we want to let the proponents explain what they feel it is or anything like that?
Sure. Would you like to explain what you feel the single subject of your measure is? You don't need to if you don't want to. It's just if you'd like to.
El único objetivo de esta iniciativa sería mejorar la implementación de SB 251.
The only purpose of the initiative is to improve the implementation of SB 13251.
Okay, great. Thank you. Discussion by the board?
Yeah, I think I'll just briefly for the record say I do think that this measure has a single subject. Essentially, I think all it does is allow an individual who's not lawfully present in the U.S. to use a Social Security number as an alternative to a federal taxpayer ID number when applying for an identification document, and then sort of prohibit limiting the number of documents that can be issued, making it easier for folks to get them by making them be issued at all DR/DMV offices, and then generally allowing persons not lawfully present to renew or extend these documents in pretty much the same way as other folks. With that, if there's no other comments, I would move that we find that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 82, issuance of identification documents by the Department of Revenue, has a single subject and that we have jurisdiction to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes unanimously, so we can move on to setting of the title. Did the proponents have a chance to review the staff draft of the title as it's displayed on the screen there? And do you have any comments on it?
No.
What I sent you.
No, I don't have.
Do you have some proposals?
No, like last week.
It was a great representation as what Initiative A2 should be about, la iniciativa, right? I mean, so the committee read it, and as Licencias para Todos, the Driver's License for All Committee, my name is Patricia Ramirez. We feel that that was a good summary of our intent for 82. Actually, I wish we would have had that three times before the legislation hearing. So, would you okay. add something, Annie?
just the fiscal impact, we're not quite sure. We just got it yesterday, and so we're not quite sure what to, sure. how to reconcile that with ours.
Right. As I kind of explained on the previous initiative, this board doesn't really have jurisdiction to address that at this original title setting hearing. If you do wish to file a rehearing and raise problems with the abstract, you're more than welcome to do that, but we can't really discuss it at this hearing. So,
okay.
No.
Is there any discussion by the board on the staff draft?
I think the staff draft is generally in pretty good order. I do, as usual, have modifications, which I think Steve do if that's all right.
Sure.
I can briefly start explaining those, though. The first is, let's see. Oh, actually, now I don't have it because he's reading off of it.
Oh, okay. So. Sure.
Both read off of it. I think the first thing is I think we should probably, to give good notice, tighten the title a little bit to say not just the concerning the issuance of identification documents by the Department of Revenue, but also two individuals who are not lawfully present in the United States, because that's really the, sort of the heart of what I think the measure is. And then I'll let Steve type up
sure.
the rest. Despite what it seems like, it's only a few words longer than the original.
Aaron, ask him how we reconcile these.
Mm-hmm. I said we have to ask for another hearing before then.
But not about this.
No.
Okay.
This is good.
The suggested language is displayed on the screen. Jason, if you wanted.
Sure. So besides the first thing, which, as I said, was to slightly tighten the single subject by adding who are not lawfully present in the United States to give to limit things a bit and give better notice as to what we're actually really talking about in this initiative. A lot is just sort of a little bit of restructuring. I think the core thing is allowing the Social Security number in lieu of the federal taxpayer identification number, so I've kind of moved that up front. I've taken out the parenthetical for identification document. I think we've put it in the single subject, so now we can just clarify what those documents are without sort of saying it again. Mm-hmm. One thing that might be a little more controversial on lines 5 and 6, I've added, as allowed under existing law. You know, usually we don't make that kind of reference. I think here there may be voters who think that right now someone who's not lawfully present can't get a driver's license, and then we're working that big in change in law, and pointing out that this is a smaller change than that, I think, is at least arguably important. The rest, I think, is pretty close to what's in the existing language. I mean, there may be a few tweaks. Here and there, but I think it's pretty on point. I added the word extend on line 7. One of the conforming amendments deals with extensions when something's expiring and someone is out of state or something and can't easily renew, which is a little different. So I added that. Everything else is, I think, basically, if not the same substantively, about the same as the staff draft.
Okay. I would have just a couple suggestions to it, mostly just kind of grammatical cleanup stuff, but I don't know. Do we want to do a motion on what's on this? Well, let me ask the proponents, are you okay with the title that's on the screen there? Do you have any comments on that, the changes from the original draft that came out?
You got the original?
I think so, unless you guys like the original better.
No. I like this better. I just
the actual, I personally do not see an actual title on top, but with that.
Sure. So the title is just everything you see on the screen there.
Wow.
So that's what we call the title, and then if this were to make it to the ballot, it would change into the form of a question, but this is basically what's on the screen there is what we call the title. So
okay, yeah, the question, which was the second part to this,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Correct.
¿Están en acuerdo? How about the appropriation part?
Appropriation is. ¿Quiere hacer pregunta usted? ¿Cuál es la pregunta de
appropriation? The only thing I would say, making appropriations in the initiative 82, there was the wording of a restriction. So with the joint committee there, they're by law allowed to get some of the monies from the cash revenue to apply to this and to that, and we were asking for a restriction because it's already in the fiscal note, it's already been reduced from 17 million to 1.4 million. We just want to make sure that the appropriations stay within the purpose of the SB 251.
I see. So I think it sounds like what you would prefer is that the slightly more detailed language at the end of the staff draft in lieu of this or something like it that says that it's very clear that it's only in accordance with what we're doing here be added back in. Is that accurate?
Yes, because last time with 251 it said appropriations and that meant it scattered the monies, actually got pulled out.
Joint Budget Committee just didn't fund it.
Right.
Please make sure you use the microphone because we're recording.
Say it.
The Joint Budget Committee just didn't fund the program. And so, long story short, it was very hard to get a date to get a license. It was very hard to, there weren't very many offices. So when it got right down to it, even though we charge people for the extra for the licenses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when it gets right, and they could do the same thing again.
We would like
to ensure that, yes, there's money appropriated and so on and so forth, but.
So Steve made the change on the screen to grab the last clause of the staff draft and put it on this one. Does that look better to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. One word.
Okay.
We'll adopt that for now then.
Yeah.
All right. I would make a motion that for now we replace the staff draft with the language that now appears on the screen and use that as the basis for any further revisions to the title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that passes unanimously. Or I guess you probably don't have anything else you want to. The only thing I would like to do is maybe make it singular, and I'll let Steve finish there. Maybe make it singular instead of on line two individuals. I would change it to an individual who is not lawfully present. Because then in the trailer, we refer to him in the singular. And then the only other thing I would do to kind of shorten things up is wherever it says such an individual, just change it to the individual.
Sure.
So that's on line three. Line six, I believe there's one. Line seven. And then it looks like line 9 and 11, we go back to plural. So, yeah, just the individual and the individual on line 11.
Does that change the meaning, though, when you change it on line 11?
Yeah, 10 and 11 aren't working.
Yeah, I think we're talking collectively about those that are not lawfully present.
Yeah, line 11 maybe should be back to the individuals or such individuals.
Or maybe we should go plural all the way through. So where we've been singular in the trailer above that, we go to plural to have a plural from a single subject all the way through. Does that end up working better? Ends up being a lot of suches, but at least it's not such ands.
Yeah.
So, Steve, I think what we're doing is then we'll instead of such an individual, we'll say such individuals. I don't like all the suches either, but in this case, it actually is what it's used for. So line three, back on line six. Line seven, towards the right. And maybe
that one's still good.
Or we can say other individuals. So,
yep.
So I think take out the any and pluralize. Line 8, the any before other.
Yep.
I'm sorry, what change did you want on line 8?
There's an right, go the any before other about 2/3 of the way across. Okay. Just strike that. On line 12, I like that we've added language back in. I think that's appropriate. I don't know. I think in accordance with the proposed initiative, I mean, it's not. I think what I would say is appropriating, based on what the proponent said, appropriating sufficient money to the Department of Revenue to fund something like the required issuance of additional identification documents. Or maybe just the issuance of additional identification.
Yeah, documents. I think I like it better without the required yeah. And then just getting rid of the in accordance with the appropriate. I agree with that.
Or to fund the issuance of these, I mean, additional. Sure. Not, and I'm saying taking out additional.
Move that. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there will be additional documents issued, but it makes it seem like they're documents in addition to ones that are currently being issued.
That's what we mean. You mean different kinds of documents as opposed to documents to more people.
Did you say such again?
I would say, how about to fund increased issuance of identification documents. Or to something like to fund an anticipated increase, you know, in the number of identification documents issued or something like that.
I mean, I don't know if that addresses your concern of identifying which documents we're talking about.
To anticipate increase.
Well, I think all we're trying to do is not imply that there's new kinds of documents, right? So I think in the number, I mean, we've said what up front, we've said identification documents, and then we've listed them just below that. So I don't feel like using the term is inherently confusing.
The proponents have any comments on those changes as they are on the screen?
Are these changes okay? These changes okay?
So we agree with those changes.
Okay,
and then one last little cleanup on line 6. I think we need a semicolon and then small or lowercase for requiring.
Hey, anything else?
Pretty happy with it.
Oh, okay.
All right. You want to read it in?
You want me to read it for the motion? Okay, so as it reads now, it says, a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes concerning the issuance of identification documents by the Department of Revenue to individuals who are not lawfully present in the United States and, in connection therewith, allowing such individuals to present a social security number in lieu of a federal taxpayer identification number when applying to obtain a driver's license, minor driver's license, instruction permit, or identification card as allowed under existing law, requiring such individuals to provide evidence of current Colorado residency when reviewing an identification document, but otherwise allowing such individuals to extend, renew, or replace an identification document in the same manner as other individuals, requiring all motor vehicle offices to issue identification documents to such individuals, prohibiting the Department of Revenue from limiting the number of identification documents issued to such individuals, and appropriating sufficient money to the Department of Revenue to fund an anticipated increase in the number of identification documents issued.
Sounds good to me. Long, but I would move that the board set the title as was just read and now appears on the screen for proposed initiative 2017-18, number 82.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to the next item on our agenda, which is under the heading Additional Business. The title board will discuss and vote to determine whether the board will file a brief in the pending Supreme Court appeal of the board's decision on proposed initiatives 2718, number 67, number 68, and number 69. So I was thinking we could just take those up together unless the board has a preference to split them out.
No, I don't. Was our counsel of the board going to fill us in on the details or anything, or were we just going to talk about
them? I think we're just going to talk about them because we don't have counsel here, so.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Basically, I mean, there were appeals submitted on those, and new procedure of the board is that, you know, we vote to whether we're going to file a brief or not, or just let the proponents and the objectors' briefs stand. So I don't know if there's any discussion on that or if you just want to take a vote.
And in this case, the person's filing, I had looked, but now I've forgotten. The person's filing the initial briefs were the opponents. We had set a titles, and that's being objected to, or we had not set titles. I didn't sit for these.
Titles were set. There were rehearings. The objectors and the rehearing filed appeals with the Supreme Court. So they will have briefs and
rehearing.
Yes.
Okay.
And I assume that the proponents will be filing briefs.
And the proponents are also represented by counsel, fully represented by counsel.
That is correct.
Okay. And we have not seen, I guess we saw the initial motion. We haven't seen briefs from anyone yet, so we don't know if anything novel is being said by.
That is correct. I believe the briefing schedule hadn't. I believe our deadline to file a brief is January 4th, so I'm not, that's correct. The appeals have been filed, but there has not been any briefing
at all
that we've seen.
Because I think it's difficult to make this decision right now. I think what I would say is, because both sides are represented by counsel and will be fully briefed, it's probably not necessary for us to file briefs. Unless in the opening briefs, the objectors come up with something that more direct is surprising, that's more directly pertinent to us, and we don't really know that yet. So my inclination would be to, I guess I'd be comfortable saying, voting to not do briefs, subject to sort of like, the opportunity to maybe consider having a second look if something surprising comes in, or saying, advising the Attorney General's office to let us know if something surprising comes in.
Does it make sense to just hold this decision in abeyance until we see what's actually filed?
Well,
The problem with that, I think, is that the briefing schedule
is tight.
Wouldn't allow it.
Because the next meeting's the 3rd.
I'm trying to pull that up really quick.
The next meeting of the title board is on January 3rd. That's correct.
Trying to pull up the briefing schedules.
We do already have one filing for that, so that meeting will take place.
You know, I'd also say that, you know, absent sort of unique and novel questions that sort of directly affect how the title board does its business, I think as the representative of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, which neither pays for this briefing nor does this briefing, you know, I'm inclined to be fairly deferent to what the other board members want to do.
Well, and I believe that's why this is a new procedure on the agenda as the representative from the agency that does pay for
that. Yes.
So the briefing order is that the parties file simultaneous opening briefs on or before January 4th. So I think we do have to
decision today.
Yep.
Then I think I would be inclined to be comfortable not briefing this. I think.
Are you taking public comments?
Oh, we can take discussion? Public comment if you like.
So my name is Ben Larson. I'm here on behalf of the proponents. And obviously, this is a novel thing that the title board is doing. It's my understanding that the title board has always filed briefs. Is that correct? The secretary's, the attorney general's office has always filed briefs on behalf of the title board?
I don't believe we've always filed briefs. There have been periods where we have not filed briefs. And I think the issue is, again, that usually, you know, the briefing is adequate without any input from us. So,
Are there criteria that are being used to determine when briefing will be filed on behalf of the title board and when?
There are not any written criteria. I think it's just kind of come again out of a general feeling that it's maybe not the best use of resources because the briefs, you know, really aren't adding anything new to what's already being filed.
Okay. Yeah. I guess just two comments. The first would be, you know, if you've read the notice of appeal in this case, the opponents are raising what really get to some election law issues. So I do feel like perhaps, you know, the title board with a representative from the Secretary of State's office may have some good input on these issues. And then the second point is just I'm a little bit concerned that I'm not sure how long it's been since the title board last did not file briefs, but I'm concerned that there may be some inference by the court that the title board in not filing briefs, which is a change from its usual practice, is somehow not supporting or supportive of its decision. So I'm wondering if perhaps since we are the guinea pigs here, if there could be a notice filed with the court, if the decision is not to file briefs, if perhaps there could be a notice filed just alerting the court to the title board's new policy. And that has nothing to do with the merits of the appeal one way or the other. The title board, it sounds like, is making this decision based on sort of logistical and financial reasons, which I understand. But I think it would be perhaps helpful to just alert the court to the title board's new policy.
I think I'm inclined to recommend that we do preserve our ability to defend the title board's decision and that we should file a brief, or we should file briefs in these.
Okay.
Any additional?
No, do we want to make a motion? Do you have comments?
I don't have a comment, no.
All right, so the motion be to file, I guess the motion, why don't you make it? It's your call.
So the motion is to authorize the filing of briefs and the pending Supreme Court appeals and, of the board's decision on proposed initiatives 67, 68, and 69.
All right, I'm second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No. So that passes 2-1, and the title board will file briefs and those initiatives 27, 2018, number 67, number 68, and number 69. And thank you for your comments today. I realize, you know, you were the kind of the guinea pig on this, and it was a new agenda item. So we'll take a longer look at this and, you know, see if there are changes that could be made. But thank you for your comments and being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
With that, that concludes today's agenda. Please note that pursuant to Section 1-41-107, subsection 1, any person presenting an initiative petition or any registered elector who is not satisfied with the decision of the title board with respect to whether a petition contains more than a single subject, or who is not satisfied with the titles and submission clause provided by the title board and who claims that they are unfair or that they do not fairly express the true meaning and intent of the proposed state law or constitutional amendments, may file a motion for rehearing with the Secretary of State within 7 days after the decision is made or the titles and submission clause are set. The motion for rehearing shall be heard at the next regularly scheduled meeting of the title board, except that if the title board is unable to complete action on all matters scheduled for that day, consideration of any motion for rehearing may be continued to the next available day, and except that if the titles and submission clause protested were set at the last meeting in May, the motion shall be heard within 48 hours after the motion is filed. We are adjourned. The time is 11:05.